All right, Sonato and LZ, Scotty Cap hanging out with us today. Happy to have him aboard. Now, I will say this, Cap, is that the one thing I've noticed is that since Bronstein is here, things are done more thoroughly. You know, I love Greg. I've known Greg since he was literally an infant in this business, okay? His first job was to be my producer back in the day at Fox Sports Radio in like 2006 or 7. You know, I've known the kid for a really long time. He's a great kid. One thing he's bad at is details. So one thing Bronny is great at is details. So Chris Morales has this open with so many details in it. And it's just, you know, it's astonishing to me to be able to have that kind of elaborate open. So I want to congratulate Adam Bronstein, but I'm almost overwhelmed by all the detail.
I loved it last week, or was it a couple weeks ago, when we were talking about our man Bergman, and you had told the story that the social media team at 710 said, George, can you please send us a video of you promoting the show? So you're sitting there in your den, and you got these cool pictures behind you, and the lighting is good, and you've done your hair, you got on your Sedano and LZ t-shirt. I mean, you're really making it a production here. You're putting some effort into this thing.
Right.
Then you send the video to Bergman, and then it never airs on Twitter or on Facebook or on Instagram stories.
Yep.
It never goes anywhere. And then you said, oh, I forgot. And Bergman says, I forgot.
Yeah.
What do you mean you forgot? You can't forget. This is important stuff here.
Yeah.
You know, that's like when I hear a coach talking about time management during a game, like, I got distracted. It's like, distracted?
Yeah.
You're the coach. You got the headset on. You're the decision maker. Who got distracted?
Uh-huh. And here's the funny thing. Bergman's been tweeting all week. I'm like, dude, if I'm on vacation, I'm not tweeting. Like, just now, I'm tweeting if I'm watching like a game, maybe. But he's just like randomly responding to people tweeting to the show.
Oh,
it's like, bro, stay on vacation.
How about his tweeting about UCLA and the deal that they did with the Jordan brand?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh,
I don't have Bergman on my alerts.
He made it such a big deal. Like, oh, my goodness, it's such a big deal. This is how it's supposed to be. I'm like, yeah. Really? Is that the way it's supposed to be?
You know what, Scott? The reality is this. You've been in this business for a long time like me. So you know what PDs, most, not all of them, but because I don't think Amanda is one of these people, the great Amanda Brown, Boss Betty Pantsuits. But most of them, would you agree most of them are really just guys that want to be on the air like you and me? And I feel like Bergman, his Twitter is basically just his hot take mechanism, that he can't get them all out on the air because LZ and I got to talk. And, you know, he has his moments, and Laura has, you know, gets her opportunities too, but he doesn't have the full platform. So Twitter is like his platform. That's his move.
Yeah, it's his megaphone. And I always like it when he does things like take over the 710 Twitter.
Oh, don't even get me started on that. We gave him the Twitter takeover, and then he gave it up on the weekends. It's like you can't say I'm going to do it, and then, oh, no, but on Saturday and Sunday I'm taking off. That's not how this works.
This kid needs to go on vacation, and he needs to really, like, unwind a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, you personally, I don't go on vacation right now.
Yeah.
I've got this Belichick thing in my head of no days off, no days off.
Yeah.
And in this weird year of COVID, and you and I started talking about this a little bit last night, that, you know, you're going to start hitting the road to cover NBA basketball games.
Yeah.
And as you take off, I'm pulling into your spot to fill in. And it's not like it is in other years, George, where it's like, okay, it's December, take 2 weeks off, go up to Mammoth, spend a little time, ski, unwind, have a great. No, it's not like that this year.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. There. I'll have a couple of games, but honestly, I have only taken six shows off since the Super Bowl. So to your point, so I took a week off in August, I took a day off in March, and that's really it. So I just need, honestly, they're not carrying over our vacation days. So I've got a bunch of them. I'm not even going to be able to use them all, to be honest, before the end of the year. In theory, I would still have like two left over, but whatever, it is what it is. So I'm just doing it just to, like, I don't know, do nothing, right?
Yeah.
What I'll probably do, and this is going to sound silly, but I never get to play video games anymore. Because I have a life, right? I have a job that I do multiple things for, right? And I've got two little kids and a wife. So there's a lot going on the daily. And I try to stay in shape. So there's that too. So what I'm going to do for the 2 weeks that I'm off is, you know, when I'm not at an NBA game, I'm going to just hang out, watch some TV, catch up on some shows, and play some video games. That's going to be the 2 weeks. I only play sports games these days. So I'm going to play, like, you know, NBA 2K. I'll play some Madden. Maybe I'll play some FIFA. You know, stuff like that. And honestly, the only time I ever play video games is, like, during vacation time. When I have, like, staycations, that is.
So my son has these has a couple of different video game consoles here in the house. There's a PS4, I think, and an Xbox.
Right.
And I don't even know if there's a distinction between an Xbox and an Xbox 360. I don't know. And each night you can determine whoever is here, he's playing against whoever on whatever device it is. And when I look at the controller, George, it's not like it was when I was, like, a little kid. And there's just so much going on. I got thumbs. I got
double buttons on the top. Yeah.
Then the index finger on the backside of it.
It's not easy. It's not like the Nintendo back in the day where it's just A, B, select, and start. Yeah, and the thing that moves the arrow things. No. Yeah.
I feel stupid and old even saying I'm not old. Listen to me. People say to me all the time, like, I had a friend of mine say to me today, he goes, "Oh, I'm just an old man." He's 50 years old. "Oh, I'm an old man."
Right.
I go, "You're not old. What are you talking about?" But when I start complaining and when I'm kvetching about the number of buttons on a controller in a video game.
You sound old. Yeah.
You sound like an old jerk.
No question.
My grandmother would
never.
I mean,
that jerk is aggressive, but I would just say old. Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
but like my grandmother, that was the kind of thing. Like I'd say to her, I go, "Grandma, hey, they got these things now, computers, email. It's awesome. We can communicate."
These things now. They're called computers, Grandma.
Right. She was like, "I'm too old to understand this."
And I never want to say that. That is one of my biggest fears. Like, honestly, I always say, like, I tell my wife this all the time. No matter how old I am going to keep up with technology. No matter what. That is going to be my sole focus as I get older in life.
I think that's a really good thing to do because, you know, you talk to anybody today and you have this assumption that they know what you're talking about. Like, hey, download the app, go to the app store, download the app, make sure you install it, put, you know, create an account.
Yeah.
Like, people are like, what? How? Wait, slow down.
Yeah. And I think people of a certain age, that becomes a challenge. And I never want to be that guy. I'm always trying to stay up with the latest technology. And I'm still young in theory, right? At 43 years old. So I will, that is my pet peeve. Like, I will never let me be the guy that we make fun of that says he doesn't know how to use the whatever is the newest technological advancement thing. Fun of old people.
Let me ask you this quick question before we hit this. Your grandparents old school. Were they old school, old school?
Old school. I mean, listen, first generation immigrants, you know what I mean? Like, come on. Yeah.
So my grandmother was the kind of person that her entire life kept kosher her entire life and would never, ever, ever, her entire life, never tried bacon.
Right.
Ooh. Never tried ham.
Wow.
You know, there was no
swine.
Like, shrimp.
Can't do the swine. Yeah, right.
There was nothing like that. I'd be like, "Grandma, listen, you know, if Moses were here today, he'd freaking love bacon because it's awesome."
Yeah.
You know, like, give it a try, Grandma. And she was old school. She was stubborn like that.
Yeah.
So when it came to technology, forget about it. She wasn't even going to entertain it.
Right.
Would your grandparents have?
No, definitely not. Yeah, definitely not. Even my mom, like, she has an iPhone, but, like, she knows how to do very basic things, like call, FaceTime, and text very little.
Mm.
You know, that's pretty much it. But, you know, she's 81 years old. You know what I mean? Like, what am I supposed to expect? Like, I feel like that's actually not so bad. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that she can do those three things still make me feel good. Speaking of old, Pau Gasol, Scott Kaplan, may be headed back to the Lakers. At least that's a real possibility. And there's a lot of talk about Anthony Davis and LeBron and what this preseason will look like for them. So Dave McMiniman is going to stop by in about 2.5 minutes, and we will chat with him about all that stuff in just a sec.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sedano and LZ with you here on 710 ESPN. Don't forget, Santa Key is coming to town. You can pick from our 710 chimney. There's a bunch of stockings on there. There's all sorts of Laker goodies and collectibles that you can choose from. You got to choose one of the stockings above the fireplace, the Keyshawn stocking, the Greeny stocking, the Max stocking, Mason stocking, Ireland, myself, LZ. Our buddy Scott Kaplan is in for LZ today.
Pick me.
Playoff Sliwa. Again, win Laker goodies and collectibles on 710 ESPN, your home of the world champion Lakers, which we'll get going on Friday right here with the preseason and the man who covers the Lakers better than anyone, works for us here at ESPN, Dave McMiniman, friend of the program. So, Dave, Pau Gasol, I know that there is the sentiment that maybe, you know, people would want him back. I know the Lakers have 15 guys on their roster right now. Obviously, Mark is also on the roster. Is this even a possibility? Like, what is even the likelihood of a potential Pau Lakers reunion?
I'd be reticent to put like a percentage on it because you just don't know what can happen. And obviously, if we start talking about injuries, you know, that's some bad juju to place on the guys already on the roster.
But sure.
As it stands, they're hard caps, right? So while you're allowed to have 15 guys on your roster in the NBA, the way the Lakers' roster is currently constructed, they can only afford 14.
Right.
It's not like they can't afford it, like the ownership wouldn't pay more. That they just can't spend more
right.
to get a 15th guy. So right now, Quinn Cook is on a non-guaranteed contract for the 14th spot. That is not a position that necessarily they're going to be counting on him for big minutes, although, you know, the backup point guard situation could be interesting if Dennis Schroeder does get the starting role that he wants. But I think it will come down to, you know, you get 20, 30 games into this season and you see what your need is. And is that another point guard? Is that another shooter? Is that another big man? And then the second question is, if it is a big man that you decide you need the most, is Pau Gasol, all sentiments aside, the best option?
So, Dave, is he?
I don't know. He hasn't played in 2 years. So, you know, in terms of him being an intelligent person who understands the game, who can perform in big moments when healthy, in terms of someone who obviously represents the Laker brand the right way, in terms of someone who'd be a positive locker room influence, yes, he checks all those boxes completely. But if you need 15 minutes in a game, and when already your potential starting center in Marc Gasol is 35 years old and had some drop-off in last year's playoffs, I think you better be pretty darn sure that whoever you bring in for that role, you know that they can produce. And I don't think anyone right now can say with a honest face that they know Pau Gasol can still produce in the NBA.
So is this something that this 14 roster spots versus this 15th spot, is this something that is not going to be resolved here anytime soon? Because it just would seem to me that all of this Pau Gasol talk is because there's this thought that he would join the team to start the season. You're saying this is not necessarily what you would call imminent.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's anywhere close to imminent. Now, Pau Gasol worked his butt off to get back from this, foot injury that required two surgeries, and he understands the media game, and hey, I'll go talk to Zach Lowe. It's one of the most listened to podcasts in the NBA world, and that will let every single NBA front office person recognize where I'm at right now. It's a great way to get your message out there, but that doesn't mean that the Lakers would have any urgency to change up their roster to bring him in. But again, like, this is something where they have a conduit to what Pau's going through in Mark every day. And one thing that I think Rob Pelinka has really started to make a name for himself and distinguish himself in terms of what type of front office executioner he is he is in constant contact with his players about personnel decisions. And so I imagine if the conversation hasn't already happened, and it probably already has, he will be talking to Mark about Pau Gasol.
Speaking of personnel decisions, and Dave McMiniman with us here does a phenomenal job covering the Lakers for us, ESPN NBA Insider. So those two players that he normally consults with are LeBron James and Anthony Davis. What is, I guess my question will be, how much do you expect to see them, if at all, in the preseason?
It's a great question, George. And I think it should kind of come down to both of those guys, how much they think they're going to need. So LeBron got ahead of it on road tripping with our friends Richard Jefferson and Channing Frye and Allie Clifton and said, hey, like, don't worry about me in the preseason. Like, and then Frank Vogel later on joked on a Zoom call with us reporters that, you know, I told LeBron that, hey, you might as well retire from practice. Basically, that sentiment being that when LeBron decides that his body needs some extra work in a practice or a shoot-around or a preseason game, then everyone in the Lakers organization will allow him to do so. But year 18, about to turn 36 years old, not necessary whatsoever. And as for Anthony Davis, it's a little bit the opposite. Anthony says, I haven't taken off any drills in training camp so far. I feel good, but I haven't really played all that much in the 6 weeks or 7 weeks since the season ended with the championship. And so I'm going to rely on the Lakers coaches and trainers and training staff to get in my ear and say, hey, like, pump the brakes a little bit because we need a slow ramp up. So I would guess you're going to see more Anthony Davis than LeBron, but still not all that much Anthony Davis in the preseason either.
Yeah, I mean, I got to say, Dave, I wouldn't play either of these two guys in the preseason at all, and I would just accept the fact that I'm going to have to use the first maybe 15 games or so to work my team into shape, to work team chemistry, to get rotations the way they are, to get everybody comfortable and on the same page. I just would not be taking any risks with four games in the preseason, and I especially wouldn't be playing these two guys on Friday and then on Sunday against the Clippers. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, Scott, like, I'm completely with you, because here's the deal. Like, part of Frank Vogel's job is to manage this season as a new entity, but it's also to very much recognize that we just all were in Orlando for 96 days and 95 nights, not that long ago. And without disrespecting the NBA schedule or skirting around it or putting our franchise in a position where we're going to get major fines from the league for sitting our guys on nationally televised games, to still have our own pace, run your own race, and to recognize that they need to be playing their best ball come May and June and July, and really even opening night and Christmas Day, those don't all that matter that much either, but they matter for the health of the sport. And so I imagine, obviously, you know, you'll see those two big guys in the lineup for those games.
Dave McMiniman with us here. Dave, before we let you go, what's going to happen with Schroeder? Like, you kind of mentioned it earlier. Like, is he going to start? Like, why does he think that he's going to start? And what is the likelihood that he starts?
So I don't know if he thinks he's going to start, George, or he just is trying to will it into existence.
Gotcha. And, the LeVar Ball tactic, yes.
Yeah, exactly, right? I talked to Caruso about this, and Caruso said, like, I think that's a good sign, because that's how he should be thinking. It shows that he's hungry. It shows that he wants more. It shows that he believes in himself. He's coming off the best season of his career. But, you know, he had to play behind Chris Paul, a Hall of Famer, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's the future of the OKC franchise. And it's like, hey, like, I look at this roster, and there's some space for me here. I think the tough thing for Frank Vogel is I need to kind of make sure that Dennis is happy, because he is an impending free agent. So I got to make sure that we are doing things as a team to honor what he's looking for. At the same time, I had to make sure the team is in the best position to succeed. And LeBron James played, you know, quote unquote point guard for the first time in his career last year, led the league in assists, and they won the title. So that's kind of a tough thing to say, hey, you know, all that thing that worked so well for you last year, LeBron, we're going to switch that up. So I think it's a push and pull. And, you know, Frank said in the preseason last year that you're going to see Rondo start a lot of games at point guard. And obviously that never happened.
Right.
And we'll see if that does happen this year, with some sort of recognition from LeBron that, again, like, as I try to get myself into shape and not push the gas pedal too quickly after this short off season, that it could be best for everybody involved to have Schroeder start some games at the point.
All right, before we let you go, a former Israeli space security chief has sent eyebrows through the world as he has said he has been in contact with extraterrestrials from a galactic federation and that the president of the United States knows that these unidentified flying objects and these aliens have said not to discuss this because humanity is not ready. So I'm going to ask you this. A, do you believe in that we are not the only beings in the universe? And B, in the plot of Space Jam, who would be your starting five against these aliens?
Well, let's see. So I'm going to do A, B, and C. So A, who does this guy actually think the president is? I'd be curious to know that because depending on who that answer is.
He said it was President Trump. That's what he said.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
B, I do believe that there's, you know, what's the tagline from the old Fox show? But the truth is out there. There's life out there somewhere. It's
yeah,
an infinite universe.
Yeah. X-Files.
So,
yeah,
of course.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know if we've ever come across that life form. My starting five, obviously, you got to go current players.
Yeah.
So I go LeBron, Kawhi, Giannis, AD, KD.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're winning. Yeah. Take that, aliens. All right. See what you can do there. All right. Dave McMiniman, not only a master and knows everything about your Los Angeles Lakers, does a phenomenal job covering the NBA for ESPN, but also an excellent GM against the aliens. So, Dave, thank you for your time as always. We'll talk to you soon, brother. Stay safe.
Yes, sir. You got it, guys.
All right. Believer in life out there, George.
Yeah.
Believer of what do you think here? I mean, see, the thing is for me is that if Trump knew, he couldn't keep it a secret. There's no way.
Yeah, that is part of the deal, too. That did surprise me a little bit. Although, he may have tried to cut a deal with a hotel.
The aliens are a tremendous people. They were great to me.
Yeah. Tremendous people. Right. They love me. I love them. They're tremendous. I love
them. They want a Trump hotel, on their planet.
These are three terrible, terrible Trump impersonations right now.
Totally. All right. Coming up next, we will discuss the aliens further. I would love to hear people starting five against the aliens. What yours compares to Dave's at 877-710-ESPN. Don't forget Keyshawn stopping by at 5 o'clock. But coming up next, Jared Goff and the Rams are playing on Thursday night against the Patriots. I'm going to tell you why Jared Goff is made for success in this game. We'll do that in less than 2 minutes. Yeah, yeah. Sedano and LZ with you here. Scott Kaplan hanging out with us today on 710 ESPN. Thanks to Dave McMiniman for joining us there. I do got some Jared Goff stuff that I want to get to here in a second. But you know what? What rings to you, Scott, as like Christmas candy? Like what is it? Candy canes? Is there something like from a holiday candy that kind of definitely strikes you as that is something I only eat during the holidays?
Candy canes can be very annoying for someone like me because if you have a standard size candy cane,
right?
That's, you know how they're tightly wrapped?
Yeah.
And you know how like it's hard to unwrap a candy cane down at the straight end, not at the curved end.
Right.
Okay, so you unwrap it, and then what happens if you're not going to eat the whole candy cane, which I won't.
Right.
If you suck on the candy cane, then you got the plastic, and then you got juice, and then it's sticky. I hate the sticky candy cane.
You could make a weapon, though, out of that thing if you keep sucking on it, right?
That is a shank. If I happen to find myself in the clink, and it gets to the holiday season, and I got to protect myself, I will make a sharp candy cane. There's no question.
Yeah, it is possible.
But you know, it's just very sticky. So I don't know about holiday candy, George.
See, I've got one because I watched this commercial yesterday and I was like, oh, I need to go get me some of this because I forget. It's really the only time I eat it. And I rarely buy it, but my dad used to love it when he was alive. Like he used to always buy it during the holidays. And I saw the commercial yesterday, Ferrero Rocher. Do you know what that is?
Is that the, it's wrapped in a, like a foil?
Yeah, gold. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's got kind of like a peanut butter cup papery thing underneath it.
Yeah. And it does. And it's basically like hazelnut. It's like eating Nutella,
Ooh.
Basically.
Oh, yeah. Those are good.
Yes. Yes. So those are candies I eat only during the holidays for whatever reason. And it's just spawns back to my childhood.
Yeah.
Bronny, Laura, let's start with Laura. Laura, is there anything that you eat only during the holidays that would be considered candy?
So I was telling Adam that mine would be like Lindor peppermint chocolate.
Oh yeah, that is definitely a holiday thing. Yeah. Now again, you know how I feel about peppermint, so okay. Not my thing, but it's definitely something I have seen plenty of during the holidays.
Just are those one. The little chocolatey dark chocolate with like a little bit of greenish creamy stuff in the middle?
In the middle, one line. Chocolate? Yeah, like a little line in it. Yeah,
yeah, those are good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, not my cup of tea, but Bronny. Only for I'm sorry,
Christmas.
Laura. Go ahead.
No, no, no. It's only for Christmas because, and I only one, and I think that's like that's my.
Okay,
it.
That yeah. is the limit. That's mm-hmm. fine, Bronny.
I mean, recently in my adult life, I'm not much of a sweets guy, but man, growing up, I was all in on those Andes mints.
Those
thin mints.
Do remember?
Just man, I could kill a bag of those.
What are those?
Usually those are the mints they leave on the pillows at hotels. They're these super thin chocolate mints, but they're so delicious.
Mm. Yeah.
They are the best.
Yeah, something weird about the holidays. My daughter asked me this morning, my 14-year-old, she said, "Hey, Dad, can we get coffee creamer that's holiday flavored?" What are you supposed to do with like creamer? That what is it, peppermint? Is that
yeah,
what, is
peppermint,
that?
That's the one.
Really? That's holiday creamer?
Yeah.
Mm. Yep.
I guess you go from, like, what do you do during Thanksgiving? Is it
pumpkin spice.
Pumpkin spice, yeah.
I can't get into the pumpkin
spice. Me neither.
They have Oreo-flavored creamers now.
Ew.
You can get the Girl Scout Thin Mint Cookie-flavored coffee creamer as well. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, Samoa's creamer, maybe.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, not my thing. I'm not a coffee person, number one. And I'm definitely not
No, George is a tequila person.
I am, which we'll get to. I'm actually more of a Scotch person, whiskey person, but I don't shun tequila, that's for sure, which we'll get to a little later. There's a reason to get to that, and Bronny brought that up, but we'll bring that up in a second. But first, Jared Goff and the Rams are playing on this very station tomorrow, Scott. And Jared Goff has been really impressive on Thursday nights. So the Los Angeles Daily News today has a story from Kevin Modesty about how Jared Goff might be the best thing on Thursday nights since Seinfeld was on TV. And it just kind of goes into detail about his tremendous success that he's had on Thursday nights. Most recently, as we all recall, it was against the Tampa Bay Bucks just a few weeks ago, right? So, that was a Monday night game now that I think about it. But anyway, primetime games in general, he's been good.
There you go. We'll call it primetime.
Yeah. But Thursday's game presents another situation where he's been good. His passer rating, the last time he played, I'm trying to see here, it was 2017. He had a 145 passer rating in a rare win against San Francisco because the team has not beaten San Francisco that many times. Mm-hmm. 41-39, a 38-31 win in 2018 with 158 passer rating on Thursday Night Football. And last year in the Rams lost to Seattle on Thursday night, they lost 30-29. He threw for 395 yards in that game. So he has had a lot of success on Thursday Night Football. Like, do you buy into that? That just some guys, there's just certain days or games or night games or whatever that they just get up for?
I don't know if I would call it, night games or getting up for a particular night. I kind of look at it as getting into a groove. Where if you've played on Sunday and then you have the short week and you've kind of got the game plan because it's abbreviated and you feel like you're in control because you haven't had to take a week or you haven't had an extended period of time off. I'm not so sure I think it's a Thursday night thing as if it's more of a shortened week. It's kind of like the difference between running a no-huddle offense where you're trying to get really rhythmic versus, deciding to go into a huddle and taking your time. I just think this, George, this is such a huge game on Thursday night. I know we'll talk about it with Keyshawn a little bit later on. DeMarco will jump in. It's a huge game because when you're Jared Goff and you go play against Tom Brady, that's one of those games where you want to put a check mark. Like, I've played him, I've beat him, let's elevate. Now you get to this game and New England, I think we all think that New England might be pretty good because of what they did to the Chargers, but the Chargers are terrible. And the Patriots have been mediocre as the year has gone on. Mm-hmm. You're at home. You've got to win this game. And if you're McVay, you'd really, really like to put that check, just the same way Goff did against Tom Brady.
Right.
If you're McVay, you'd like to put that check against Belichick. I didn't mean to do that.
Oh, I don't think that. I think that's absolutely the case. Kyle Shanahan and Bill Belichick are the two dragons he needs to slay. You know what I mean? And I think that, this dragon is a little old, this Belichick dragon. It doesn't have the powers it once had, necessarily. And I think that Sean is definitely looking forward. He's a super duper competitor. There's no doubt. So we'll talk to Keyshawn about that on the other side. He's going to join us. We've got what you need to know as well. Don't forget, Santa Key is coming to town. You can pick from the 710 stockings on our chimney and win some Laker goodies. That's going to happen between 6:30 and 7. But we'll talk to Keyshawn next in 3 minutes. Yeah, yeah. What you need to know is brought to you by Morongo. Play it safe. Good times. Keyshawn's going to join us in 3 minutes here. Scott Kaplan in for LZ today. So, Scott, there's a story today that the Federal Trade Commission is sued Facebook, alleging the company is illegally maintaining its personal social networking monopoly through years of all sorts of anti-competitive conduct. So they're trying to force them to sell Instagram and WhatsApp. And honestly, like, I am a person who wants anti-monopoly. I want as many options as possible for people to make money. And I think that, look, I think competition is good in this business. I think competition is good in every business, and I don't think monopolies are a good thing. And also, I don't trust Facebook. Clearly, they've breached our trust numerous times. So I'm kind of like, all right, sorry, Zuckerberg. Go sell those things. How do you feel about Facebook?
So first thing is, I think a lot of people feel like you do, George, that they don't trust Facebook. But let me ask you this. Do you have Facebook on your phone?
I don't. I deleted Facebook in 2012.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Let me ask you another question.
I have an Instagram, which is Facebook, and I have WhatsApp. But yeah, I have deleted the actual Facebook app.
So you have WhatsApp and you have Instagram both on your phone.
Right. WhatsApp is encrypted, though. It's encrypted messaging. It's just a message thing. And I have Instagram just because whatever. I got to have Instagram, I guess.
Okay. So you think that that Facebook cannot get to you through Instagram?
Of course they can.
Well, okay. So you've given up Facebook.
But I don't actually use Instagram all that often. But anyway, but yes, I occasionally use Instagram.
I got to be honest with you. I'm kind of a fan of your Instagram story. I mean, I hate to be such a creeper.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I don't participate enough. I'm not even on Twitter all that often anymore, honestly, either. I have kind of, if you watch the Social Network movie, or not Social Network, the Social Dilemma documentary on Netflix, have you seen that?
Yeah, not only did I see it, but I liked it because it was interesting. But I hated the narration. I mean, it really drove me crazy.
It was a little crazy. But the story kind of spooked me. And since then, I have been less, I have spent less time on social media.
All right. So as far as the monopoly, yeah, I think it's I do think it's a problem. I really do. I think that when you are in control of that much data, look, in the final analysis in where we are in 2020, there are really three companies that rule the world, okay? Yep. And maybe I throw in a fourth. But you've got Google, you've got Amazon, and you've got Facebook, and maybe you might throw Apple in there as well.
Right, yeah, for sure.
But really, it's Google, and it's Facebook, and it's Amazon. Those three companies own the world. And so, yes, I don't think that monopolizing data is a good thing for the average user out there.
Yeah.
You know, so that's my thought. I think they should listen. If they broke it up, it wouldn't impact me at all. But I just think it's a lot to control.
Yeah, I got you. I'm with you wholeheartedly. Bronny, let me know when Key is there. And also, I have a question for you, Bronny. How long is this Nicolas Cage thing that we wanted to play? Because if not, we'll save it for the next What You Need to Know. Okay, then let's just save it. Let's save it for the next What You Need to Know at 5:55. But I have one more thing before we get to Keyshawn. Were you a fan of True Blood, Scott, on HBO?
So I'm not really the biggest fan of vampire-related stuff.
Right.
But I did watch some of it. It brings back some bad memories. It's pre-divorce.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so, well, it's interesting because I am also not a huge fan of True Blood, but it is getting a reboot, apparently, at HBO, which is interesting. I don't know if it'll be, like, some sort of continuation or maybe a different line of the story or whatnot, but it is I have a rule, basically, when I watch a show. My rule is very simple, and you're listening to KSBN Los Angeles, so Keyshawn will join us in a second, but my rule is this. I give you a 3-episode rule, okay? And if by 3 episodes you haven't grabbed me, I'm out. I ain't got no more time for you.
Okay. What was the last one that happened for you like that? Do you know?
So there have been some shows that I've missed out on. True Blood is one of them. Honestly, Breaking Bad was one. Breaking Bad was so slow to start that I was out. Wow. I have not finished it. My wife has seen it all, and I have not seen it. I will eventually go and see it. But that, yeah, that has hurt me a few times.
I would say the one that hurt me the most recently, where I couldn't get past the first maybe two or three episodes, and everybody told me I'm stupid for not doing it, was what's the Eugene Levy and his family? I've got it on the tip of
Schitt's
my tongue.
Schitt's Creek.
Yes. Thank you. So I couldn't get past how annoying I thought Eugene Levy's son was, and I love Eugene Levy.
Right.
The character just annoyed me, and I couldn't watch it. And another one was Better Call Saul. You talk about Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
I loved Breaking Bad, but Better Call Saul, I couldn't get past the first couple episodes.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I would ask Key, who's joining us here, about, and that's what you need to know, brought to you by Morongo Play at Safe Good Times. Keyshawn Johnson, perhaps you know him, from his lore at USC, being the son of Los Angeles, and now you can catch him each and every weekday morning on KJZ, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, 5 to 9 here on this station. Key, I would ask you about shows, but I know you well enough to know that all you do is watch ID Network when you're not watching sports.
Yeah, I'm not – I don't know anything about a Breaking or a Bad.
What was the last show you saw on ID Network, Key, that got you hooked?
You know, I watched it last night where I watched it before the game, where, you know, some lady killed her husband, basically. Cut him up in a bunch of pieces and buried him in her own backyard and lied for about 20 years, and then I went to bed.
Yeah, that'll do it. That's a great way to go to bed. I'm sure you slept like a baby.
Yeah,
but
the game wasn't all that interesting.
You know? I like to watch that stuff, George. If I have a little bit of an echo, sorry about that, because I'm in the kitchen.
Yeah, no problem.
It's just, it's stuff that I'm interested in because, I like real lie stuff. There's stuff that can really actually happen in real life.
Yeah.
You know? That's how I am.
Yeah. Well, Key, Scott has never heard this story before. You and I and LZ back in the day, you told this story about if you heard some rumbling in your house in the middle of the night, what would you do as you would walk down the stairs? What kind of noises would you make for the potential intruders?
Well, you would try to do something, right? You might scream, you might throw a shoe, you might go, boo, who is that? Boo, boo, boo. You know, you might just try to see if they hear you, you know, creeping or whatnot.
Yeah.
It's pretty fascinating, though, I must say.
Yeah.
I still use those tactics here and there. Because I got to know where you're at. If you're in my house, I got to make sure you're not standing next to my door,
right,
and I have to make you think that I'm coming from another part of the house.
Right, so you're throwing your sound off in different directions.
and
throwing a shoe will do that.
At least I think that's what I'm doing.
So you're not trying to sneak up on the prowler for coming in. You're trying to scare him backwards is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Right. Right. And look, the reality is, houses make weird noises, and sometimes you think it's something, and sometimes it's not. All right,
houses
Key, speak.
Make weird, like the house that I have now, it literally, I feel like somebody's walking in here like every 10 minutes because it's a house that was built in 1831.
Oh.
And it just feels like somebody's always in here. Even though I know it's not, you always just hear stuff.
Yeah, it's spirits. You don't believe in that stuff?
Could
you got like haunted ghosts in there.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It could be, man. People from the 1800s, they creep around for a long time as ghosts in your house sometimes. It happens.
So, Key, the Rams are playing on Thursday night. They're playing tomorrow against the Patriots. I was looking this up earlier. Jared Goff has been really good on Thursday nights. Like, his numbers are pretty damn impressive. In the games he's played on Thursday night, he has completed 70% of his passes. He averages 384 yards a game. He's thrown 9 touchdowns and only 1 pick. Do you believe there is something to be said about guys playing, whether it's night games or on a specific day, like night or day that's not Sunday, that kind of gets them up for those situations?
A little bit. I don't buy into all of it because even though Jared Goff had great numbers, have you seen his numbers against Bill Belichick?
Good. Not good in that one game.
47% completion percentage, been sacked a number of times. So it's like I don't buy into that as much as I do the opponent. Who are you playing against and where are you playing them at?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about this then, Key. This is a huge game the way I see it. The Rams now have control of the division. You talk about controlling your own destiny. They've got that opportunity now because of the win against Arizona. On the other hand, I think that we're looking at New England differently, perceiving them differently going into this game because of the total devastation of what they did against the Chargers. So you tell us, are you buying the Patriots as a, you know, trying to stay alive, keep themselves in the playoff race, which is clearly what they're battling for? Or are you buying the Rams at home coming off the kind of game that they just had against Arizona?
I'm buying New England to keep themselves alive. And I'm buying New England because Sean McVay is 0-2 against Bill Belichick. I'm also liking the new New England Patriots and not the old New England Patriots that everybody was accustomed to in the way that everybody wants them to play right now. Everybody wants them to be Tom Brady, show the ball everywhere, New England Patriots. And they're not that. They're going to pound you. They're going to run the ball aggressively. And that's what they're going to do. And you're either going to like it as a fan or not. And that's what I like about this particular team in New England.
Do you think that they can continue winning with Cam Newton throwing for less than 100 yards like they have the last 2 weeks?
Absolutely, because it's a philosophy that they believe in. And anytime you believe in a certain philosophy, that's kind of, you know, what you do. And that's what they do, and they believe in that. And it's worked for them. I think a lot of the time, we sometimes, you know, look at things and say, well, it's not, like I said, this is not the old New England Patriot way. We don't like it. Well, it's not going to be the old New England Patriot way. It's going to be the way that they play and they win now. And so that's what I like about what they're doing. They're not trying to satisfy the narrative and the taste buds.
But this is a huge game for the Rams, because if we all were to agree that we think that the better teams are in the AFC than the NFC, if that's the case, if there's more good teams in the AFC than the NFC, New England's coming in as a 6-6 football team. They're in third place in their division. The Rams are at home. They gave up a home game inside their division 2 weeks ago. To me, Key, I want to hear your opinion on this. You got to win this game. You're at home. You're in control of your playoff destiny now. You got to defend home turf. You got to win this game if you're the Rams.
There's no question the Rams got to win the game, and they know that. But it's not going to be easy. I know, much like George just mentioned, Cam Newton's thrown for less than 100 yards in two straight games, but guess what they've done? They won those games. And I think that you've got to respect that. In the Rams, with this tight defense, the one thing, their pass secondary is ridiculous, but their run fits are okay. And what does New England do well? They run the football. So it's not about Bill Belichick versus Sean McVay. It's about Jared Goff versus Bill Belichick and his defensive staff. The confusions, the mixing of coverages, the confusions that they can cause for a guy like Jared Goff is crazy. See, Sean McVay gives the play to Jared Goff in his head. By the time he gets to the line of scrimmage and start calling the play, the headset's cut off. He can't tell him check out of this and check out of that. It's got to be Jared Goff that makes the decision to do those things. So that's why I say it's Jared Goff against this defense of the New England Patriots. Hey, be quiet.
Key, Derek Carr, as we switch to the Raiders real quick, Derek Carr was, I don't know if he was on social media or he was doing an interview on like some video chat thing, but he was basically lamenting the fact that Raider fans were complaining on social media about the way they won against the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that? Him going out of his way to say stuff like that. Does it matter? Should he care about that stuff? Is he right?
He shouldn't. You never get into a pissing match on social media with fans. I hate to say it. I respect fans. I like fans, but I'm not listening to no fan, man. I'm not paying. You know how the amount of fans that say negative stuff on social media about your description of a team or what you think about a team? Negative. You can't get caught up in those sort of things. And even as a player, you can't worry about what the fans think. What do they know? right? They're not in the huddle. They're not on the field. All they're seeing is something and something that they see, they think they know, or listening to some damn announcer on television that don't know what he's talking about, but telling you he knows.
Yeah, so that's pretty much nailing it.
I mean, but I think one thing, George, about the Raiders, and I don't know why, maybe it's just a perception. I feel like from a fan base perspective, the players are somewhat accessible in some weird way. And there always seems to be this direct line of communication between players and fans with that organization for some reason. Key, ultimately, it comes down to this. They barely squeaked by the winless Jets, and Greg Williams got fired because of that last play call on defense. The question really comes down to this. Do you believe in the Raiders, or squeaking by the Jets the way they did, does that have you thinking that the Raiders are not for real?
No, it didn't. And I certainly believe in the Raiders as a team that can make some noise if they get into the playoffs. There's no question about it. I think they'll give Kansas City fits. But at the same time, you got to be smart enough to realize that this thing is not a sprint. It's a marathon. And so, yes, they struggled against the Jets, but that's okay. That doesn't mean that it's the end of the world. Teams, you're not going to blow teams out just because you think they're not good. They play up to their competition, and you play down to yours. It's the old thing that's been going on for years and years in professional sports. I mean, we can go around the league and look at all these teams that are good and see who they played against and how they performed against weaker teams. Or we can go around the league and think about the teams that were hot as firecrackers, the Seattle Seahawks. Woo! Russell Wilson, 5-0. They're rolling. They're going to be. And then all of a sudden, they're going south. The New England Patriots, oh, they're terrible. They're going to get run out of the AFC East. Then all of a sudden, they're starting to play better. Oh, the Arizona Cardinals, man, this new offense and that Kyler Murray, whoa, he's cute. Oh, my God, look at him run around. Then all of a sudden, well, they lost 4 out of the last 5. So you just let it play out one game at a time. Coaches motto, one game at a time. Just keep stacking them. And that's it. Keep stacking them up.
I'm laughing because I've heard this so many times. But he would always pull me over. It was almost like he was a cop, Scott, when I would be talking about these things. He'd be like, George, you got to take these things 4 games at a time. You take the seasons in quarters, right, Key? You take them in quarters.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because
yeah.
You can't get too high,
right,
and you can't get too low. Like I said, I respect the fans, but I'm not listening to them.
Right.
And I would tell Derek Carr the same thing, and I'm sure John Gruden told him.
Yeah.
Because a coach once told me, the moment that you listen to the fans, you'll soon be sitting with them.
Yeah, that's fair.
Hey, Key, can I just jump in for one quick second and ask a question? Yesterday, I saw your Taco Tuesday dish. your discipline when it comes to your diet is very admirable. I do all the working out, but I do none of the dieting, and that's why I feel disgusting. Can we get what happened last night on Taco Tuesday?
Well, I made a grilled filet mignon. Mm-hmm. I made, which George would appreciate because he's Cuban.
Yes.
It was black beans refried.
Yes.
It was not normal pinto beans. It was black beans.
Yeah.
And Spanish rice, a little bit of tomatoes, cilantro, some bell peppers, some of those sort of things mixed in there. And I fried tortilla shells, real, not Ortega, real corn shells, deep fried them to a crisp so they're flat. And I had some pico and some guacamole and slapped it on my plate. And that's it. I could have cut it up and folded it up and made it a taco, but I choose to eat it that way. If you've ever gone to a Mexican restaurant, they do sell filet mignons and carne asada whole steaks on the menu. So I think a lot of people get Taco Tuesday confused with you have to eat tacos, and that's not true.
No, you go with just Mexican cuisine.
And tonight I'm having a double turkey burger with turkey bacon,
yeah,
lettuce, tomatoes, grilled onion, mayo, mustard, and white cheddar cheese.
There you go. Vermont cheddar or just a regular cheddar?
It's just a regular white cheddar that I bought at Whole Foods.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Also, I loved your suit today on NFL Live. That color makes your smile pop even more. So you should wear it more often.
I actually heard you talking this morning on the air about saying how, hey, I just go wherever they ask me to go. You want me to do radio? I'll do radio. You want me to go do TV?
He is absolutely 100% right when he says that. Like, he's I just go where they tell me to go. I do what I do, and that's it.
Yeah, I'm just the guy who works. Like, they asked me today on radio what sitcoms that I like, you know, what sitcoms do I like or whatever. I said BET. I'm watching that. Outside of that, I won't be watching Seinfeld and Cheers and none of that other stuff.
Yes. Yes. Not your cup of tea. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin each and every weekday morning here from 5 to 9 a.m. Good to catch up with you, Key. We'll talk to you next week, man.
Thanks, Key.
All right, bud. Bye-bye.
There he is. Don't forget, Santa Key is coming to town, too. That's between 6:30 and 7. We have Laker goodies to give away, so make sure you tune in. And when you hear Santa Key coming down the chimney, your caller 7 at 877-710-ESPN. All right, we went really long there, but coming up next, could there be a reunion of sorts for the Lakers? We'll tell you with who in 4 minutes.